have it more abundantly. And took
the nails for me. This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Well, greetings. Pastor David here and with Pastor
Barry.
Barry, yes. I knew. I was just checking to see if you remembered who you were.
I don't have my name tag either. Yeah. I remember this one.
And we have some guests with us that we've invited to be part of this series we've been doing on the home church, because that's what they're doing. And, of course, Pastor Barry and I are doing that.
Mm-hmm.
We have Ethan. Ethan, tell us more about yourself.
So I've grown up here for about 12 years of my life, and kind of grew up in the church, moved with my family from Kentucky, and just kind of starting to really get involved in kind of leading church and all that.
Cool. Yeah. And J-Dub 561.
Yes, sir. J-Dub 561, radio show host, Christian rapper, and house church pastor. And true story, many years ago I was a children's pastor, and Ethan was actually part of that children's ministry.
Oh, yes. Cool. Hey.
Look at that. Full circle. Look at that.
I'm telling you, man. God's really into that full circle stuff. Well, we're talking about home church, and we'll say at the front, it's like issuing a disclaimer that we're not here to bash, smash, or crash the bricks and mortar churches doing a great work in many of those churches.
Amen.
But we're also saying to you, we're talking about a rising movement at a time when God is bringing revival, not just to America, but to the world. But we're kind of focusing on our experience in this country with the home church model is growing, and there's good reasons for that. And everybody here in the studio is part of a home church model, and we're excited about it. We believe that it's now becoming a cutting edge for some, especially for a certain groups of people, certain demographics, if you will.
No doubt.
And we can talk about that a little more. But our theme tonight, we're hoping to develop, is the home church as a platform for discipleship, for developing disciples.
Amen.
And how powerful that is. So with that in mind, as a scripture I'd like to share, if you have your Bibles, you go turn to Hebrews, the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 28. And it is therefore written, it says, "Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe." And that, of course, applies to the church in general. The church, by the way, being us, not the building you meet in, but the people of God, the body of Christ.
Amen, brother.
And when we come together in worship, and some people say, "Well, how do you do worship in a home?" Well, you look at what elements of worship that the Word of God gives you, and you just replicate them in the home. God will help you. Some people say, "Oh, he's going to leave me twisting in the wind because I'm not going into a building with other people." And say, "Wait, no, wait a minute." Now, keep in mind, in the early church, they were in the homes. They had no public buildings.
Amen.
They couldn't. Especially because if they're in public buildings, they get tracked down. And
they did pretty good.
They did excellent. Yeah, they did pretty good.
Good job all the way around the Mediterranean.
Yeah, they flourished pretty well.
Yeah.
The growth of the church and the home church is what made it happen. So God used that. He's using it today because of what's going on in our world today, that the home church is more of a viable place to bring people to Christ and to disciple them. So with that in mind, I'm opening up the floor for the members of this wonderful godly panel of believers, talk about disciple it.
Did we open up the scripture first?
I just read it.
Oh man, I missed it. Can you read it again?
I can do that.
My God, it's Hebrews 12:28.
Yeah.
"Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe."
That's good. Mm-hmm. That's good. One thing that I had said to me, and this is so. It's a no-brainer, but it said to me by one of the brothers in my house church, is that what I love about house church is mid-discussion, I can ask a question. Mm. You know?
Bingo. Yeah. Bingo. We get the same thing in our home church where questions, and sometimes there's even someone who questions what we're preaching about.
Yeah.
Now, wait a minute. I never interpreted it that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
It opens up a discussion for people to think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's
process.
And again, that leads to that healthy discipleship making.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Because if you can ask a question, then you can get the answer. Whereas, I mean, just be frank. It's just a matter of functionality. You cannot answer or ask a question in an auditorium of, you know, even 100 people maybe, but like 200-500 people, and you got 500 hands going up. Yeah, you got to breeze through that 45-minute sermon. You got to hit your points, and you got to quote your scriptures.
That's right.
Yeah. And you got to tell your joke.
And most of the time, it's not funny.
Most of the time, it's not funny. But if you don't tell that joke, Holy Spirit won't move.
Yeah. But you're absolutely. It's funny, but it's also true.
You know, I just want to address the worship, the reverence, and the awe.
Yeah.
People being human beings, it's easy to sometimes slide off track in a home church setting because you become familiar with each other. Mm. You might have a Super Bowl going on that weekend or something where, you know, sometimes guys and ladies, they want to talk about topics, things like other topics other than church. But if you remember that you're doing this with reverence, it keeps you on track.
Yeah,
you're there for a reason, and that's the reason is God. And the latter part of this, where it says awe, it reminds me of a story I heard one time about there was a rabbi who had a younger rabbi. He was teaching and discipling and getting ready for his own temple, and he gave him a terrible assignment. He gave him the 4- and 5-year-olds to take off and teach and bring them back. Kind of like what we do with youth ministers.
Yeah.
You're a youth minister.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. 4-year-old through 6-year-old. But he taught them the principles of prayer. And one of the little prodigies came back and told the congregation, the principles of prayer are oops, gimme, thanks, and wow. And I will say this young rabbi really did a good job because the kids got it. Oops, I'm sorry, Lord. And gimme, you know, you're my daddy. I'm going to ask you what I need. Thank you is obvious. You know, thank you for the blessing. But the wow part comes under awe because as you mature as a Christian, you realize just who you're praying to.
Yeah.
And if you realize just who you're worshiping and praying to, it should keep you on track.
Amen.
And give you a sense of awe.
Yeah.
Even if you've got 5, 6, 10 people in a room, not the 5,000, you don't need that many people to experience the awe of God. And I just wanted to mention that because it's still church.
Yeah.
Yeah, we sit on couches and chairs and folding chairs, but it's still church.
Yeah.
It was reinterpreted as a intimate personal experience with the creator of the universe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Yeah. Amen.
Just to kind of, I guess, put in a little something, just talking about worship and reverence and awe. And what I grew up in was, I wouldn't necessarily call it legalistic or anything, but it was, you don't necessarily raise your hands when you're praying. You don't lay down on the floor. You don't, I don't know, some people dance in worship, and that's not my thing, but for other people
it is.
Right. And there is, there's reverence in raising your hands or singing or praying out loud, and it's like not necessarily acceptable, but when you're in that home church, that comfortable setting where people are, you can see in the Bible that people aren't just worshiping by standing there and
like
saying
statue.
The words. Right, yeah. Right. Yeah. People are comfortable and they're able to lay prostrate on the floor and worship or pray. Right. And I think that just kind of makes it more comfortable, and you're really able to have that conversation with God as you worship.
No, that's good.
That's cool. That is an absolutely
because
cool
you're
and true
you're
statement.
You're in an atmosphere of trust.
Amen.
You know, you have a personal relationship with all these people, and so there's no one's going to make fun of you.
Yeah.
You're not going to be tossed out because you prayed too long or too loud.
Yeah. No, it's so good. Point. And we recently went through just looking at communion and just have a whole another level of respect and awe for communion. And it was the pinnacle in the first church. It was the pinnacle of those love feasts that they had, which was basically a potluck, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that pinnacle of those, you know, potluck services was communion. I mean, this is it, guys. Here we go. And then they took it very, 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 very seriously. And just that respect and awe. And I think, you know, again, in that intimate setting is something that's really more easy to accomplish and very personable.
It's personal. It is powerfully personal. And the part talk about the awe part, but to me and us in our tradition,
right?
And I hate to use this word because some people say, "What is that?" You know, Anglicans. Now we're not connected with the Church of England, which is where it comes from. Mm-hmm. I mean, officially, but the style of worship which we've adapted to our home church has an Anglican basis order of worship, but there's a lot of Holy Spirit space in there, but we do have communion every Sunday.
Right.
And it's always meant a lot to me, a very powerful spiritual moment receiving, because what I'm doing is I'm saying, Lord, I want to receive you again, and I'm in your presence.
Yeah.
I believe that you're here because you said wherever two or more gathered, and I'm receiving the whole of your being. I'm willing to do that. We don't have to re-up our invitation to Christ, you know, when he came into our hearts.
Sure.
But it's a good reminder. It reminds me that, yeah, you know, I asked him to come in. And look what the cool stuff he's been doing.
That's right.
And the other thing that my heart was touched when you were talking, Ethan, about being able to express yourself and your love of God and the awe of God physically, you know, by raising your hands. But if you feel like getting on the floor, you know, being laying, it's a sign sometimes of bowing before the Lord,
yes,
of submission,
amen,
all of that. And then in talking about how awesome our God is, I found in our home church model that it's instantaneous, that not only can we have a personal expression of the awesomeness of God being in his presence, but it's seen by the others, and we can talk about it. Right then.
Yeah,
now, that to me is an incredible dynamic of the home church that lends itself to discipleship.
Absolutely.
Because when I express myself, and maybe I do something that captures your attention, you know, and you say, and you could stop, you could say, well, I mean, I know that you're digging on it because I can see your face and you're smiling, but what does that mean to you?
Yeah.
And I can explain that. And it doesn't mean you're going to copy me, but now you have another dimension of understanding of what God is doing in my heart and how I'm responding to him. And it kind of gives people permission,
yes,
to say to the Lord, hey, geez, I want to have that depth of response to your word. And maybe not in that way, but I realize there's a deeper level.
And it also allows the body to be the body of Christ.
Yeah.
You know, Ethan, the Holy Spirit could speak to Ethan something that, you know, even though I may have prepared a message that I didn't even come to me, and it may impact me, it may impact anybody in the congregation.
That's
but
right.
Having that ability to let the body of Christ be the body of Christ, and you know, talk as the Holy Spirit leads and share is really beneficial to the growth, the discipleship of those individuals. And let's not forget, before Jesus left, you know, the last thing he said was, make sure you close the refrigerator door. No. He said, right? No.
Give me your Bible.
Yeah, right. Well,
yeah.
What verse, wait a minute. What was that verse you talked about last time? The most of whatever the verse? Right. No, he said, go make disciples.
Yeah.
So if that's the last thing, you are leaving. You are Jesus. And this is the last thing you're going to say.
Yeah.
It's probably pretty important. I mean,
not a suggestion.
I'm backing off the mic because I'm getting a little loud, excited. You know?
I'm working the pod here, bro. Yeah.
That is it.
Yeah.
Man, the last thing he says is go make disciples, people.
Yeah.
And if we're not doing that, and we're not conditioning or building our church around, that's the pinnacle. That's what he said to go do.
Yeah.
So go do it.
And if it's not being built around that, then what are we doing? What are we building it around? A show, a performance, some smoke, lasers?
Yeah. Churchianity.
And come on, up top.
Churchianity. The spirit of religion. But what did Jesus say? He did a parable about a man that built his house on sand, right?
That's right.
You know, and he probably was thinking far ahead into some of the homes in Milton, Florida back in the 60s. Right. But anyway, so you build your house on sand, right? And what happens? You know, the first time something really comes along that shakes things up, that sand, because it's loose, there's no firmness there, the house just collapses.
Amen.
And you're building it on the rock. Well, we know that our rock, Jesus is our rock. And you build, when you build your house, their spiritual house, the church, the body of Christ is on Jesus. He's their foundation.
Amen.
Then we aren't going to be shaken by any events in any time. And especially today where so many people are shaken because of all the stuff going on and they don't have a foundation. They're on sand or getting knocked around. They need Jesus. They need him today. We represent millions of people just in America that recognize that they are called to go out to those people and help them get on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And many of those people are in home churches, and many more are going to be, and encourage the other bodies of Christ, the other the bricks and mortar churches to do the same. Because we're not supposed to be simply filling buildings.
Come on.
That's ridiculous. It's a waste of time and energy.
Pew sitters.
Right.
Yeah.
As was it, I don't forget who said, is that we're not it's not a church we come to, it's a church we go out of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Church is built on come, but Jesus said go.
Right.
Go.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
But yeah, and again, just the construct of house church facilitates pouring into an individual. I talked about it a couple last times, like a mentor on the job would. And I'm going to pour into Ethan however much he needs so that he's solid. Cause, and you know, I've done this for my entire life. Since I got converted at 16, I started to try to make disciples haphazardly at 17 and been pursuing this my entire life and trying to answer the question, how do I make a disciple? And I'm not going to say that I've arrived, but you know, it's all about equipping individuals, being able to answer those questions. And look, let's be honest, man. You know, I'm not 21. I'm not going to share how old I am, but I'm not 21. But you don't have some of these answers without some life experience under your belt.
True. Right.
That's the reality. And that's why I'm so passionate about true mentors.
Yeah.
Who are pouring into individuals to make disciples. Where are the mentors that are called to make disciples? They're out there, but they're not responding to the call. And if that's you listening today, listen to the Holy Spirit, listen to that conviction, and start mentoring people in your church.
Amen.
I'm done.
He's done.
No, you're not. But that's
Bye.
I understand that. I understand that. And we get passionate about this. But I tell you, I think I can speak for everybody in here and say that the reason that I'm passionate about it is because I met Jesus.
Amen.
And I had a personal.
Yes, come on.
I met him at the age of 26, and prior to that, I was just a lackadaisical churchgoer. And I went. My wife and I went on occasion. We weren't really interested in what was going on, but the Lord got a hold of us. You know, only the way the Lord can, and the Holy Spirit said to us, "Hey, the Bible, it's true. Jesus is real. Everything you read there, when you did read the Bible, which just wasn't much, but there was hope in there, and it's because it's true. And and we'd invited Jesus to come into our hearts through some friends that you
Praise
know really
God.
Witnessed to us. So." Now, you know, I'm passionate about it, but I know that there's some people listening to this program who are going to say, well, you know, I can just imagine there's a bunch of fundamentalists in that studio and that's all they know. And, you know, and they've always offended me because they get in my face and they make me feel bad. All right, well, let me tell you this right now. Number one, if you feel bad, it's not because of us. It's because there's something going on that you're not happy with. You're uncomfortable
there's a check in your life. That's right. Check in your spirit.
Check in your spirit. And
it's good.
You know that you've got, okay, you don't like what we're saying. Well, then go to the Bible and check it out.
Amen.
Because we're just talking about what the Bible says.
Right.
Amen.
But don't be surprised if the Bible will, the truth will just bless you. And you'll find yourself awash in grace and revelation.
Yeah.
Now, what's going to happen? Then you can say, I don't want to do that because then I'm going to lose my life. Well, guess what? Jesus has a better life.
Amen.
I know it. You may not know it. But Jesus has a better life for you. The least you can do, the very least you can do is ask him to confirm that to you. You can do it quietly,
brother.
Right? Go into a closet in your home. Just whisper. Don't even talk. Let your mind speak to the Lord and ask him that question. And I believe he will show you, he will tell you what's true.
Amen.
Again, I go on and on. But you always have detractors, right? And people that say, well, I don't want to do that. I don't think that's right. You know, my life, I'm happy with my life. Are you really happy with your life? Mm. The guy who's running your life, how good are they doing? Because that's what God asked me. And I have to say, to be honest, not very good.
Yeah.
That's because I was running it.
Yeah.
All right? Hmm. I gave it to Jesus. Yeah, mm-hmm. I've changed. I've been transformed. Mm. I have not lost anything.
Yeah.
Amen. Except that which kept me from receiving the greatest joy that I've ever had in my life. The deepest awe and a personal relationship with the living God who made all of this.
And you want to share that with everybody that you meet and preach this gospel with a sense of urgency.
Yeah.
Plus the fact we say, you know, okay, I'm going to be obedient. I love my brother. I love every... If you really love them, tell them the truth.
Mm. Yeah.
Share what you have. Share this blessing that you have, this joy that's overflowing in you.
Yeah.
Don't keep it to yourself. Share it. In fact, before I studied to become a preacher, I requested to be baptized by two friends, two burly men. And they took me to the beach in December, which was a poor decision on my part because the water was freezing. Plus, they were close friends, and they held me underwater way too long. But God spoke to my heart when I was underwater. And I came out and had to run down the beach because I was overflowing with the Holy Spirit. I couldn't talk. And a very understanding gentleman who had baptized me said, did you hear something? And all I could do was nod my head. Mm. But the gift that I was given was a purposeful order from God. Bring them to me.
Wow, I love it.
In every part of my life, that works. Bring them to me.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't know me, bring them to me. If they know me and they're backsliding, bring them to me.
Yeah.
If they're full of anger and bitterness, bring them to me. So that's what we do to share that joy that David was hopping up and down in his chair over here about.
Amen.
Bring that joy to them.
Amen. I just want to say to people that are listening, like David said, and they're getting offended by this, and they're not obeying, and they're not bringing them to Jesus. Right. Don't get bitter. Get better.
Yeah.
Because
Amen.
I'm going to say this in love, but you're living in sin. Mm. If you're a Christian and you're not bringing people to him, you're living in sin. Don't justify it and say, it's not my calling. It is. Stop living in sin and repent, because
you're not being obedient to Christ.
Trying to find contentment or happiness in sin never works out in the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's right.
And so, I mean, just kind of going back to being obedient, in a smaller setting, if you bring a friend who is, just ask them to attend the house church, and they want what you have, they want Christ, there's the opportunity for like immediate obedience. I can pray with you right now.
Yeah.
You can do that right now.
So good.
And then we can go get you baptized.
So good.
Yeah.
It's much easier.
We don't know what tomorrow brings.
And then you can get them trained obediently. Immediate obedience is such an opportunity.
No, great opportunity.
Home churches.
That's
good
it.
Word.
And really, everything we're talking about, all the excitement about serving the Lord and preaching the gospel, is something that in the home church model, we have no restriction. We can do that right away, immediately.
Amen.
Yes.
And we can also, sometimes you need to issue correction.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, nothing bad. You're not going to slap somebody or tie them to a post or whatever. But, you know, sometimes people get a chance.
I don't know what you're doing at your church, Dave.
Oh, you don't slap them around?
Yeah, switch some stuff up.
No.
Right?
Not yet anyway. But
get there.
No, but I mean, you know, when you're in a big group of people and you're hearing a sermon or there's a Bible study and, you know, someone gets an idea but they're not comfortable sharing it. They may have a question, but there's all kinds of other people listening. You don't want to disrupt the teacher or the preacher, you know? Mm. And so you walk out of that room with an idea. It's not maybe correct, but you don't ask for clarity. And then you don't ask. You never ask for clarity. You begin believing that. You know, but in our group, in our small group of the home church, people can say, you know, this is what I heard when you said that, or when you read the scripture. Is that right?
Yeah.
And immediately we can offer correction if it's not right. Yeah. And that's a powerful it's a powerful dynamic.
Yeah, because that may be a subjective thought they got, and you take them right back to Scripture. Mm. You know, does this mirror with Scripture?
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
Yep.
And that's, we should be checking Scripture. You know, we should be, absolutely, how do people understand the Word? And
yeah,
it's part of that growing discipleship again.
Well, you know, there's a doctor who once said, you need to check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Right. Yeah, right.
I knew that was coming.
I want that T-shirt.
There you go.
Yeah,
baby.
Yeah.
There you go. J.W. Fossey's One Show.
That's
Saturdays,
right.
Saturdays,
1 p.m. 1 p.m. Listen, folks. Yep. And I will also say that if you're really touched by the Holy Spirit when you listen to J-Dub 561 on Saturdays at 1 p.m. here at 89.9 FM, and you say, I want to help support that guy.
Come on.
Then you can send some money to us here at the radio station.
Amen.
For him, for the J-Dub 561 show. And we'll happily receive it. He'll happily receive it, and will sustain his ministry,
amen,
which is powerful and highly needed. Got a couple of minutes here. Bowie.
Yes, David.
Bowie.
Wow. Did you hear the way,
sorry,
you said my name?
Bowie.
Yes, sir.
Bowie. Well, you do Elmer Fudd better than I do, but would you close us? We're a little, I got to say, this is so exciting to have J-Dub and Ethan here.
Thanks again for having us, man.
And you're going to come back, yeah, for sure. God's cool. Going to open those doors again, but just the spirit, the wondrous mix of loving hearts here in this room tonight is just overwhelming. It's
that's
powerful.
Good. Amen.
And joyful. And that's, I'm joyful. That's why I'm doing this. Being a little crazy. Would you close this in prayer, brother?
Holy Father, we come to you as your children. And Jesus, as your children, we come to you with thankful and grateful hearts, Lord, for all the blessings that each and every one of us in this room have experienced. Mm. We thank you for our families, for our circle of friends. We thank you for our home church networks, Jesus, for the opportunity to serve, for the opportunity to bring this gospel into wherever we are, as J-Dub was putting it, you know, he's got his map. I think he's got his map in his hand now, Lord.
Yes.
But he goes out into the world every day, and it's a great example because every day is an opportunity, Lord, to bring more people,
Jesus,
to you.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, let us get, please help us get out of our own way.
Yes.
So that we can bring your word, not ours. Mm. Your plan of salvation is beautiful, Lord. We don't need, Jesus, to color it with any of our own words, put any slant on it. It is what it is. It's the biggest sign of I love you in the history of the universe, that you gave us your one, Jesus, and only Son, Jesus.
Yeah.
Lord, we are most grateful in our hearts, and the words don't even cover it. We don't understand how someone could give up their own for us.
Yes.
But
yes,
you did, Lord. Lord, when we travel, I ask for safe travel. When we intermingle with each other at home churches, I ask that you keep us safe from this virus. Mm. And Lord, continue to give us the opportunities day and night, in season and out of season, to preach this gospel. Though we are not worthy, we are willing to serve. Through Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
Amen. God bless you guys. Thank
everybody
you.
Be blessed. Have a great several days. Maybe it'll take a whole year. Why not?
There you go.
And we're going to have you guys back, okay?
I'll see you next
Sounds
year.
Good.
Amen. Oh,
all
right.
Very good.
Good night.
Good
goodbye.
Night.
Good
God
morning.
Bless.
Whatever. Take care.
Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word,
that we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified,
and receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move
and his perfect plan is unfolding in our time. So far, I'm nearly thrown it all.